To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old Brahms. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks podcast and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks podcast, so go check it out. And I'm with the gorgeous Ben Mandelke, the B-Side Blog, and the Banter Blender podcast. Ben, darling!
Darling, how are you?
I'm great. I found a paint for pump, darling.
Oh, good. Is it like Dirty Plum?
It probably is called Dirty Plum. Katie was really trying too hard. She's like, do they just have purple, darling? Yeah. Get purple. How about that? Everybody, thank you so much for joining us for another podcast day here over at Watch What Crappens. You can, you know, we already said where you can find us and all that. Do it. Our bonus episode this week is so much fun. Matt Whitfield from Yahoo, who was our guest last week for something, Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Stayed for an extra hour and talked about the Oscars and lots of other gossipy stuff. But the Oscar section is really, really good. So go over and get those bonus episodes over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Okay.
Yeah. And on top of that, we have a new segment called Listener Spotlight, where we're going to let listeners basically talk for 2 minutes on the show. We learn about listeners, what you guys like, what stuff on Bravo you're watching, what brought you to the podcast. That is going to be debuting this week. But if you want to be involved, that's also on Patreon. And by the way, some of you on Patreon, I have started to reach out to get some of your sound clips. I message you on Patreon. So check your Patreon messages because you may have missed that. So go check, go listen. And I think tomorrow is when we're going to have our first listener spotlight.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Ben has left a message for you that says, you're going to New Orleans, whether you like it or not, because I know everything. So this,
more or less.
This episode of Vanderpump Rules is called The Ambush, which it really was. Man, the people on this show, some of these people are just the lowest fucking forms of humanity, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I went back and forth a lot this episode on whose team I was at any given moment in some of these scenes. It was really amazing.
Yes, it really was a great show. So let's just start right over. Well, actually, before we start, I have to say, I was watching live, and I saw a bit of Watch What Happens live, and James was on, and he performed at the end. And wow, oh, no. James. And Andy, of course, is so respectful. He's like, the white Kanye West people! And then he... Anyway, so James gets up there. I have to say, James, he performs like he's 5 years old, and his mom is like, sing for the family, honey. Sing for the family. He's like, no, mom, I don't want to. She's like, yeah, you're going to do it. Isn't he great? And he's like really nervous, you know? And he's smiling really big the whole time. Like, just smile, honey. Smile. Sell it. Sell it. It's rap. It's rap. You aren't supposed to be smiling that big in rap. So he was smiling and kind of bowing his head and doing these weird
so British
doing these like hand gestures, you know, where he's trying to be like what, but it was like, I don't know, he was trying to row a bike with his hands. It was so awkward and sad. It made me not want to hug him. I don't know, but it made me
maybe
not
hypnotize
run him,
him
over. Yeah, maybe hypnotize him, maybe.
Hypnotize him and make him never rap again, but also fill the void in his heart. that causes
I was going to write down the lyrics, but I mean, come on. They were really fast, and I'm not spending that much time on that shit. But I will say,
Wiggy,
girl.
Grippies, you old grippies.
You'll just grippy, want a piece grippy, of the grippy. James. Would you like a piece of this pie? I'm not pie. Why am I saying pie so much? Because I'm pie. His lyrics were
It's today, March 13th. Today, March 14th, because that's International Pie Day. Pie.
Pie. I'm feeling you. Remixing pie with pie. La la pie. What is pie? Pie. Thank you for listening very much, my bitches. Like, what? What are you doing?
It ain't no lie, baby. Pie.
He rhymed something with Prius, okay? I wrote, LOL, he rhymed something with Prius, which is just so LA.
Prius from the Prius.
And then he kept going. He kept going with the Prius rhyme rant.
He's like,
I drive a Prius, but not a bus. Something, smile on us. And good God, I hate pus. I'm like, you just said you hate pus in a rhyme to Prius.
My favorite player is Equus.
Wow.
I wanted to get a little something to appeal to Ronnie's theater queen. There, I got him.
Musicals. Now, when they make, do they have a musical of Equus?
I think it's a play. I actually never saw it.
He's hung like a horse, and I can't forget him. Okay, there. Equus the musical. There you go. Pretend I was Harry Potter playing that role.
Great power ballad.
Thank you. Wow. So I'll sing as much of that power ballad as I will of James's song, which means that's over. But hey, at least I didn't rhyme anything with pus. So, wow.
I'm sorry. I actually am truly sorry I missed that performance. And you did actually warn me that it was coming on, but I still missed it. Instead, we start the episode with Lisa Vanderpump and Villa Blanca.
Darling, I work so much. If I'm not taking flowers to a restaurant, I'm checking my Twitters at a table in the other restaurant waiting for Sheena to come in and tell me some god-awful stupid thing no one cares about. Or I'm talking in front of a refrigerator to make sure that my staff is emotionally on cue. It's like, okay, Lisa. Listing all her job skills.
Yes. So Lisa is, she's brought in Tom and Ariana to Villa Blanca to teach them about cocktails and mixology. Just that way, that's the way Villa Blanca can do cocktails, the way Pump and Sir do them. Cosmos, apple martinis, apple cosmos.
Wesley, let's talk about the color of the pumptini, darling. I prefer a darker color. And then Tom's like, well, they have like different colored cranberry juice there. I'm like, Tom, no, they don't. Cranberry juice is literally all the same color. But thanks for being
here. Well, they have cranberry cocktail, we have cranberry juice. So it's like,
That was funny, though, that Lisa's like,
I'd like the pink to match this one a bit deeper.
Deepa pink. I'm like, that means it's a weaker drink. So then it's like mixology, muddle.
So someone brings up James, and Tom's like,
I'm gonna be taking James to hypnotherapy. So whoa, cool, brah.
And Lisa's like, yes, he just I don't know that he needs hypnotherapy, darling. You know, he just needs to not drink. That's it. It's not hypnotherapy. Be a better person. Just don't drink. That's it. Period.
Yeah. It's like pretty much, I was sort of on board with what Lisa was saying. I'm not against hypnotherapy, but I'm like, I think, isn't this Occam's razor, the simplest solutions, the easiest? Is that Occam's razor, or is it a different razor? But either way, I'm
also
like,
AA,
like,
is
however,
free.
I'm on board. I am on board because I am very excited to see James getting hypnotized. So, you know, I was okay with it.
I can't wait till we get to that part. So yeah. Wesley's like, yeah, I know James. He comes in sometimes. And Lisa's like,
don't overserve him, Wesley. I'll find you.
And he's like, oh, no, it's never been a problem. She goes, wait, how many times have you seen him there? And he's like, just once. Because he's not supposed to be going into places. I love that James just goes in and balls wherever. He's like, yeah, that's right. Give me a shot, darling. Give me a shot, girl.
I'll have to come to Villa Blanca so that way I can get away from all those jealous groupies. They don't know about Beverly Hills.
So nice. Can I have a chaser with that? No, not a chaser. Not a female chaser. I've got enough of those, darling. Can't stop.
All those jealous groupies. Always hanging around with lounge DJs. Such groupies.
I'm coming in, giant doorman. Please block the flow of groupies following me in here, girl.
Please remind me not to spit on the door. That's how they know where I am at all times.
I show up on blue light. I have a lot of groupie doors.
That's a tip for my hair's just too perfectly combed for them to stay away.
Oh my God.
Look at this British guy with perfect hair.
Oh my God, when he said that, I died.
Yeah, I know.
So we see where James is getting this, because he goes to lunch with his mom, who is just fucking terrifying. I mean, this woman is facially terrifying. She's as terrifying on the outside as she is on the in, which is really
this was bad.
Terrifying.
We've seen her once or twice before, and in the past, she's always been, you know, sort of nice, and, you know, she sort of seems fine, but now she's gotten a little bit of the fame bug, so she's done some stuff to her appearance, and she's just basically turned into a giant cut fitness.
I'm wondering if James ever goes home and feels bad that he cannot have a relationship with a woman who doesn't immediately start mangling their face whenever he's around them. It's like, was it me? Was my hair too perfect, girl?
Good. So she's like, so James, what's going on? She's like, well, a lot of things make pie. A lot of slices make a whole pie. You know what I mean? I feel like Lisa has enough slices, so like I got pied from certain pump. I'm like, that makes no sense. Does that mean you ate some food?
I thought I was missing a part because it kept skipping. You know, I was watching it on Bravo Live, and it kept skipping. Like, sometimes it'll repeat parts. And I was like, did I miss something in this scene? It was like, whole pie, pieces of pie. There's pecan pie. There's lemon meringue pie, for example. You know, I would be a thin mint pie. You ever had that, Mum? Quite delicious. Also, like the ice cream. I'd be a thin mint ice cream pie, Mum.
Hey, Mum, you ever see the Great British Baking Show where they have to make pies? And you know, sometimes they make a meringue on top of the pie and some do a filled pie. I'm just sort of like a filled pie with a meringue on it. What does this have to do with anything? I don't really know. I just know I've got perfectly meringue hair.
I got pied from Pump. She's like, are you rapping again? Could you just tell me what's going on? He's like, I lost my job, Mum. She's like, oh no. Where else will you find a job as a busboy with an iPod? How could you let that go, James?
And he's like, well, I got fired because I cursed in the restaurant. And she's like, well, that's just because people are jealous. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You were such an enabler.
Yeah. She's like, at the end of the day, people are just jealous at you. And then she wipes her Coke nose. She's like, yeah, people are just jealous, James. And I was like, this kid does not have a chance if this is the hamster he crawled out of. You know what I mean? You know that that's one of the ones who almost got his head eaten off. Had some little kid not yanked it out of that wood chip cage.
Well, if she was feeling nervous, no need, because James informed her that he not only has a residency, but is going to be performing at the residency. You know, summer school with James Kennedy, darling, baby.
She's girl. Like, whoa, you're going to school and you're going to be a doctor? Oh my God, now you'll know doctors. God, your dad's an asshole. I cannot wait to fuck a doctor. It's like, no, Mom, it's a hotel. Well, I'll fuck him in the hotel then. Do you get free rooms there? I was like, what kind of woman are you? You're disgusting.
So then James starts talking about Raquel and how he just thinks that she's wonderful. And the mom goes, oh, Raquel, I do like that, Raquel. You know, a light shines from inside. I'm like, oh, no, you got it wrong. I think it's the lights are on, but no one's home.
Yeah, exactly. She shines from inside like a luminario, you know, or one of those empty pumpkins at Halloween.
Yeah, like one of those electric pumpkins where you're like, well, there's light coming from that pumpkin, but it feels empty and sad.
Yeah, pretty
much. Lacks charm.
He's like, yes, they're charming for the holiday, and then they start rotting, and you throw them up against someone's home, eh, Mom? She's like, oh, those were the days, kid. So, a clip of I miss you. The James relationship, but they're like, isn't this romantic? And it's like, I'll miss you, darling. And she's like, I miss you. She talks like that.
Yeah.
And he tells us, I could bring models home every night if I wanted to. What model trains? Name one fucking model you brought home, James. One.
Hand models. I only sleep with girls who have the best hands. My accent is so messed up right now. I can I tell you something? Real Houses of Melbourne has had a lasting effect on me. I cannot do British accents anymore. I'm like, girl.
God, well, I'm we're not, getting to Pump Rules after a lot of other recaps, so it's a lot of voices coming together.
In general, my British accent is fucked these days. It is good. It's fucked good.
Yeah, I used to be able to do a real one, but I don't feel like anybody on Bravo ever uses a real one. They all sound like a different kind of fake.
Yeah, but so James nevertheless is he's talking about how Ellie and Kristen, he's talking about Kristen about how going around saying that James has been cheating, right? Isn't that why Kristen's name came up?
Yeah, he brings up Kristen, basically that all these people are after him, including Kristen, and she's like, oh, Kristen. God, Kristen, she needs to get a life. God, she's going to have terrible karma. And you know what her karma's going to be? She won't be able to have kids. She's probably barren. I mean, that's like, bitchy, but, you know, it will be her karma. I was like, God, like,
you are trash. We make fun of... We make fun of Kristen, but there's like a difference between making fun of Kristen and then just being full on nasty.
Like, yeah, and then nasty. Saying like people who are barren, it's their karma because they did something bad. I mean, this woman is a cut fitness. You know what, lady? Your karma is sitting right across from you. You're about to buy it lunch. Bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, this is one of the only shows on TV where we meet the mothers and we just hate their guts. I mean, every other Bravo show, you meet the mothers and it's like, they're amazing. They're hilarious. And on this show, you've got her and Brittany's idiot mother.
And then you also got Stassi's mom, Katie's mom is like whatever, Jax's mom. Disasters all around.
Yeah, disaster all around. Actually, Jax's mom is the only good mother I've seen on this show because at least she's like, oh, Jax, how much have you stolen today from the restaurant?
Yeah, she just looks exhausted. She's just happy that she's been able to spend a few years without him in the house causing who knows what.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would be exhausted too. But luckily, you know what you know what happens to me, Ronnie, when I get exhausted?
What happens, man?
I could just lie down on my Casper mattress.
Oh, girl. Yes, you actually do have a Casper mattress.
Yes.
You love that mattress so much, you actually went out and you bought yourself a damn Casper mattress.
I did. I really did. I don't know if people believe me, but I bought myself a mattress. And furthermore, I actually inspired my friend Katie to buy the mattress, and I'm rather than me doing my typical testimonial for this wonderful mattress, my friend Katie got one, and I emailed her, and I was like, so how is the Casper working out? Because I feel like an odd sense of obligation. Like if someone buys a mattress because of me and then they don't like it, I feel bad. So I asked Katie what she thinks of the mattress, and she emailed me, and this is what she said. She said, so I've had 3 nights with the Casper and 3 nights of uninterrupted sleep. This is the first time in months, if not years, that I've slept for more than 3 consecutive hours. So happy.
Oh my God. That's like a real commercial. I love it.
It was. And that's from like my friend. It's not like that's real. That's real.
Well, it should be because an in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing that Casper mattress. It's supportive memory foam for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature through the night.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is that Caspers are super convenient. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. They offer free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything, girl.
Girl. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it.
Yeah. The Casper is obsessively engineered mattress, almost as obsessive as my creepy fans. And they're at a shockingly fair price, just like Kristen is so cheap.
Their supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. You always feel like you're being hugged by someone who just wants to be with you.
Wiggy, wiggy, wiggy. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015, girl.
Free shipping and returns to US and Canada, girl. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything.
Yeah, girl. So if you want to be a groupie with me and Mr. Casper Mattress, you now have to do our listen, use our code, which is www.casper.com/creppins.
Oh, hell yeah. Use that code and you get $50 off, y'all.
Any mattress
$50
purchase.
off.
Terms and conditions apply, girl.
Yeah, you know Ellie knew that he had a Casper mattress because she jumped in it just to get a selfie. She's like, the DJ has a Casper mattress. I'm fucking that guy.
She's like, oh, such a groupie. Like, no, she just really wanted a good night's sleep, actually.
She's just exhausted. Have you seen Ellie?
She's exhausted, and she has an old mattress with broken springs. Just let her sleep on your Casper mattress.
Totally. Wiggy, wiggy,
wiggy, wiggy. Wiggy, 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 wiggy. Casper. Casper. So back to this lovely show. And speaking of moms that are questionable.
Piles of dung. This Sherry. Mother, you know what? Look, I understand that everybody has, being a gay person, and especially being a gay person from a very Christian family, I get it. And I don't expect everybody to automatically get on the same train and just be like, well, everything's great. Gay people are great now. I understand that it's conditioning and it takes time and blah, blah, blah. And I was raised the same way. I don't hate my parents. They thought that stuff. They don't think it anymore just because they've had to, like, go to musicals and, you know, learn other gay things because of me. So I don't expect everybody to suddenly be like, oh, it's great. Being great, gay is great. But this woman is really on my last fucking nerves. You've got some slutty daughter who went to L.A. because of some Instagram post DMing some guy with his dick. And you know he sent plenty of dick pics. Then she's off slutting it up in L.A. on some damn TV show, not
by
doing
the way,
shit.
To be fair, every time Brittany received a dick pic from Jack, she probably thought it was just images of broccoli.
No, she wouldn't have liked it. She would have actually had to think it was a hot dog. Like, this guy gets me. He's sending me hot dogs. I mean, if he's already sending me hot dogs, what's he going to send me when we're married, Ma? She's like, yeah, that's right, honey. You go over there and you get knocked up.
Sorry, I interrupted you. You go on.
Oh, no, I just kept talking anyway. I didn't
You're
even
ranting.
Notice.
You're ranting about this lady.
Oh, no, that's it. That's all I had to say. Like, I get it. I get it. But she's making an ass out of herself on TV. And I can only imagine if this woman has a Twitter and what's happening on that Twitter right now. Because she's kind of
well,
terrible.
Because Jax has done so many awful things. And the least awful thing is being involved in a gay rumor. And this is the thing that's bothering her the most. And it just it's like, really, aren't you more concerned about his fidelity? Isn't that really an issue? The fact that he like knocks up a girl in Vegas and that this is a repeated pattern. Isn't that the bigger red
or
flag?
Or stealing or always being in jail and currently being on probation. I mean, I get that stuff's more normal in your neighborhood, but still, I mean, come on.
Or how about the fact that he acts like a total asshole in your presence? I would be mortified. I don't think I would even be able to stay with someone if they acted like that in front of my parents.
Yeah.
I would be like, the lack of respect is so profoundly awful that I would realize that this is not someone I could ever spend my life with.
Yeah, she's an idiot, but you know, whatever. Be who you are, lady. You'll come around. We'll find
she's
you.
She's probably the smartest one in the room. Let me tell you something, because they...
Oh, it's not much in this room.
Yeah, because they think that's my point. Because, you know, she's packing up and Jax walks in with groceries and he's like, yeah, we're going to go on a health kick. No more junk food. And as he says that, he's literally pulling out a bag of Tostitos from the grocery bag.
That was the best. We're going to get healthy again. He pulls out chips. So funny. He's like, it's corn. What? It's corn. His mom, when she was packing and talking to Brittany, she's like, oh, honey, you know, the stuff from that roasting or whatever. You know, I never did get my barbecue at that party, but whatever. The things that they said, I get that they did that all, that he did that all before you, but just make sure you don't get AIDS. That's all. Just, you know, non-AIDS hugs. Oh, geez, bitch. And Britt's like, well, at least he hadn't cheated on me yet. God, these two.
Yeah. Because so I'm with him every hour, except for those 12 hours I'm not with him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where was he right now? No one knows. Brittany also is telling us why you know, she's just from a small place, and Mama and Papa never drank a sip in their lives. And if these things about Jack's were true, my mom would want me to come home. I'm like, they're true. They're true. Like, no one's even denying anything's true.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Jax gets riled up and he starts snapping at Sherry and snapping at Brynn. I feel like I'm being attacked. Why am I always being attacked? And he storms out. And as he storms out, he says that he's like, Brynn has been sitting on a couch for a year and that he's been taking care of her. I'm like, you know, he is a pig. And when he walks out of the room, the first thing the mother should have said is, Brynn, you need to break up with that man. That is totally disrespectful. But instead, she's just like, oh, this is uncomfortable. It's like, Where is your maternal instinct to protect your daughter, woman?
Yeah, and you're also uncomfortable because that couch is made out of plywood or some shit. Like, first of all. And then when he's leaving, he's like, yeah, well, how about you, you know, why are you talking to your mom about all this stuff? Like, why don't you talk to her about how I've taken care of you for a year sitting on the couch? Like, does she have a job or not? I don't understand this. Like, I get that you're paying rent, but you're paying rent in Koreatown. It's not like she's in some mansion eating bonbons, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And so finally Jax comes back and he apologizes to Sherry that she had to see the
fight. Kind of. He apologizes that Brynn made him do that in front of her.
It's which like, is what? Fucked up. And then he's like, she just needs to see what she has. I'm like, I'm sure she can see it every time the Valtrax prescription runs out.
Yeah, no kidding. She sees what she has pretty clearly. It's a bloated, sad man who's mangled his face and is currently wearing a bra because he had like his third tit job. Okay, that's what she's got.
And then he goes, I never asked for anything. I'm like, we have watched an entire season of you begging for a turkey sandwich.
And goes, also, notice that he said, I don't want anything in return. I didn't ask for anything in return. All I want is to do what I want to do. It's like, okay, like well, that
you're
is
asking
something.
For everything. You're actually asking for everything by saying that. Let me do what I want to do.
Yeah.
You are asking for every single thing.
He's that's just basically saying, I'm paying for this bitch's Tostitos, and if I want to finger up my ass every once in a while, I don't want any lip. Okay? Thanks.
And Sherry's only response is, well, maybe you should go to church.
Oh, come for on, Christ's sake. Yeah, makes send, me the, gay guy, send the gay guy to a place where he gets to be on his knees every Sunday, idiot.
So then we go over to Sir, where it's a painting party, and they're painting the wall a really kind of ugly tone of pink.
But the lighting in that restaurant is in black light. I mean, lights look very, very different. Paint colors look very, very different when it's like the restaurant lighting. Because
that's true.
I mean, it's basically black light. Lisa's only painting it to get rid of some of the DNA on the walls, you know?
Yeah. Well, I like, you know, Lisa has the roller and she's like, I've done this every single restaurant. I've painted myself. And then they cut to Katie painting and it's like the most lackadaisical, sad paintbrushing. It's like, ugh. I wish you could see me doing my limp wrist right now, because that's what Katie was doing, like just barely touching it.
She's like, I hate exercise. also, fucking Katie didn't even take down that artwork. She's just like painting a square around it. Like, you have to take that down. You know that, right?
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, do you even know about paint?
So she starts talking. She tells Lisa that the bridesmaids are having another bridesmaids meeting. And like, I mean, I hope it's not expensive because Sheena like came up to me at the squirrel and told me how expensive everything was. And like, and Lisa's like, darling, that's not your business. And, you know, normally I tell people that your bridesmaids are your best friends and you should trust them to do everything properly. But in your case, I would get involved. And everyone laughs except Katie. She's like,
at least it's like, oh darling, pass the tea towel. Oh, this is from your wedding invitation, is it not? Oh yes, I'm gonna use it to wipe up this paint.
Thank God this tea towel can clean up this paint, because Lord knows it's not up to the task of the mess that is your relationship. Darling, Katie's like,
I thought it was going to be a keepsake for you. Oh, yes, a keepsake. Yes, I'm just going to put it in a planter right here.
This tea towel lasted about as long as your wedding, or as long as your marriage, well, darling.
So, meanwhile, Jax, Tom, and Ariana are over at, like, the Hollywood Suit Exchange getting suits for the wedding. And it was great because immediately George, the guy who's handling them, is like, yeah, we got slim fits for all you guys. Jax, you need an athletic size.
Tom's like, oh, he's so sensitive. Tom number one. Someone tweeted us, is Tom trans now? Is he just basically trans? I don't know, but I hope so. Honestly.
I don't think he's, well, he's not trans, but I think he is transitioning into Clea DuVall. Yes. He's Clea.
Instead of genderqueer, instead of genderqueer, he's just Clea DuVall queer.
He's Clea fluid.
He's American Horror Story season 2 fluid.
Carnival fluid. Can't. It's like, I can't hardly wait to become Clea. And that's not just because she's in Can't Hardly Wait.
So they are basically just joking around and having fun. And Tom's like, can I have a tux? Can I at least have a vest? Well, I'm going to cry.
He actually, well, I mean, he was joking because he asked, he's like, is it okay if we wear a black vest? And then, you know, Tom Schwartz is like, nah. And, you know, then Tom Sandoval was, you know, pretending to cry and everything. But the truth is, when he asked that question, is it okay if we wear a black vest? He literally asked it with the same gravity of, how many hours do we have left with grandma? You know, like, like, just got the phone call. How much time do we have left? I mean, that was like, he's like, can I wear a black vest?
And they're like, okay, you can have a vest. And he goes, yeah, you see, I'm like Stassi. Like, if I want to get something, then I just cry. And they all laugh. And Tom number two goes, oh, wow, that's old Stassi. And Ariana's laughing. And she's like, ha, there's no difference. And everyone laughs. I am loving just the not give a fuck hatred that Ariana has from Stassi.
I know. Ariana's, she's really killing it these days. it's been really good. I thought about doing the Is Ariana Mad at Us segment, but she's not mad at us. I think she's just more mad at Stassi. Maybe we'll rename it as Ariana Mad at Stassi every week.
We can only do that segment when we really do get into like an awkward moment with Ariana. You can't force that one, you know? Maybe it'll come across once in a lifetime, maybe once every couple of months. Who knows? Twitter? Who knows?
So what we're saying is everyone instigate a situation. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God, don't do that. Someone tweeted at Christy, what's her face, Christy Teigen. They were like, do you listen to Watch What Crafton's Inquiring Minds Want to Know? And I was like, no, my God.
Don't leave her alone.
Like, please leave Christy Teigen alone. She hates our guts so much right now.
Oh, and by the way, Jennifer Lawrence, you still have an open invitation onto this podcast. You know, you're a Bravo fan. Jennifer Lawrence.
I like that people in our audience know to aim low. They're like, no, I don't think anyone's tweeted at Jennifer Lawrence. They're like, no, guys. Chrissy Teigen first, okay? Baby steps.
Speaking of aiming low, I think we should also mention that Tom Schwartz, his vision for his wedding is, I think it was to wear, like, all brown but have green shoes and like a dark green tie because it's like earthy elegance or something like that. I'm like, this sounds terrible.
He said he wants to match the Into the Woods theme for their wedding, and I'm like, you know that Into the Woods is like season 2 is awful, like the second act everything goes to shit. It's like
things don't work out so well.
Everyone's dead, so enjoy that.
So, speaking of witches in the woods, it's time for a bridesmaid's lunch.
Witches at the Cabo Cantina, or wherever the hell they were.
Yeah, and so it begins with, you know, all the women are there, and Sheena is like, hey, Kristen, I have something for you. And she hands over, like, an envelope, and of course, Sheena's going to do a big, you know, display of handing over the money.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to forget the money I owe you. And Kristen's like, oh, well, okay. And Sheena goes, I figure you prefer cash. She tells us, yeah, of course I done that in front of everyone because, like, if she's going to make a big deal out of it, I'm going to make a big deal out of it. So here's your money. Shut the fuck up.
Wow, you really won that battle, Sheena.
You sure showed them giving him an extra $500. You know that's just Coke money. That place was probably donated. It was catered by Taco Bell. There's no way it was that much money.
Please, even Taco Bell has standards.
It was probably going to be at Taco Bell, and Taco Bell was like, guys, no. Our manager does have a living room that's empty right now while he's at work, and they're like, yeah, let's just call it a mansion.
Let's be honest. It was arranged by the Taco Bell marketing executive who got fired after he punched an Uber driver. It's like, that's it. We're firing him. Oh, because he punched the Uber. No, because he did a tie-in with Vanderpump Rules. Oh, sorry.
I think it was just like a for sale house, you know, that had been foreclosed on or something. They're like, enter through the broken window, guys.
Yeah, it's probably like a leftover. It's probably like they were shooting early in the day for $1 million listing, and they're like, okay, here, you can have it at a discount. Josh Altman's already been in here.
Pretty much. So, Brittany
By the
is.
way, I love how we keep on bashing that mansion in Eagle Rock week after week.
It was because it was. I mean, come on. These girls try and act like they're so fancy. It's like, oh, hey, thanks for that bridal shower with that place with stained carpet that we all had to drive an hour and a half to get to and like got cold tacos. Thanks. They're like, that was $20,000 each. No, it wasn't. Stop doing coke. How about that? So Brittany starts open the conversation. She's like, hey, guys. Wait, what did she say? The girl's about a kiss? Why did I say that? What
I
if
don't
Brittany
remember.
started gossiping? Oh, she started talking about, I guess, Jack. She was like, y'all, Jack's like, was so, like, my mom was so upset about that gay kiss. Like, she was real upset, guys. And Stassi goes, you know what? Being mean to someone's parents is terrible, and I would rather be cheated on. Now, no one wants to talk about Jack's. Let's talk about the party. And they show a close-up of Brittany's sad face. She's like, oh.
So they have to. Okay, this is sad. At the time, I found out that Jax's penis wasn't kosher.
When I
Even
found
after I
out
put the
that was a
ketchup on it.
penis and not a hot dog, I'll tell you what, sadness mixed with hunger. Never, never a good feeling.
I remember when I went to the farmer's market, I saw that asparagus. I was like, look, all those Jack's penises. And they're like, no, that's asparagus. I was like, oh, but there's green too.
Oh,
Little
well.
bumps at the end.
At least I'm still, you know, at least I've still got a boyfriend who's a charcuterie. What a, that guy's such a charcuterie guy.
Last night, he was being such a misogynist. My back feels great now.
So Stassi is like, no, we don't want chips. Okay, everybody. I know New Orleans. I know it. It's like my place, like New Orleans and Stassi hand in hand. I'm like, no.
Stassi, remind me where you got eliminated on the Amazing Race Family Edition. New Orleans. Oh,
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Anyway, go
Snapple. She's like, I understand what it's like to cry in the streets of New Orleans. And Katie, there's plenty of gutters. So come on.
on. We're going to get a party bike, okay? It's going to be 10 of us on a bike, and we're going to run around a racetrack, okay?
God, this cast. No one going to throw beats at these bitches. It's like, keep your shirts on. Keep them on.
I really want to have the bachelor party in the bayou because I just feel like when we're all together, it really reminds us of being in a swamp.
And Kristen's like, well, whatever, but we're not going to Las Vegas. Like, that is absolute. It's like Las Vegas, like, no Las Vegas. So they text the guys who are still over at the suit shop to like have this thing back and forth of where they're gonna go. And the guys are like, Vegas! And you know, that's a big no. And Sheena, for no reason, I don't really understand what Sheena's even going for here, but Sheena's like,
No, okay, but like, if we go to New Orleans, like, we all have to plan something. Cause, like, no offense, but you're gonna plan every little thing. And Stassi's like, yeah, why wouldn't I? I'm New Orleans.
I think that made me, for some reason, it made me crack up so much because I feel like that's Stassi's response to everything. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. She really said, yeah, I want to plan because I know everything. I'm like, it's so Stassi. Stassi, the closest thing you are to New Orleans is like when they had Katrina and there was no preparation and it was just a damn broken down FEMA camp. Like, that's the closest you are to them. Okay. You're like a
She's basically
disaster that took way too long to recover.
the female personification of the Superdome.
Pretty much. Like a bunch of stank that nobody really understands. You're like, why are we
But
stuck here?
everyone agrees across the board is a huge disaster.
Yes. Pretty pretty much that's Stassi.
But yeah, so but Sheena, though, basically Sheena, this what this boils down to is that Sheena wants to be in the running for America's Next Top Bridesmaid, and she's afraid that Stassi is gonna steal it away and become unofficial maid of honor. So Sheena wants to plan something, and she's like, I don't know why Stassi thinks that she can do all this. I mean, if I could control it, then we would totally do a trip to Disneyland in the middle of the day. I'm like, no, that's Orlando, Disney World. Not New Orleans. That's why you're not in control.
Yeah, if I could plan it, we'd have like mimosas on the Statue of Liberty.
It's like, okay, A, it's not a statute. And when B, that's New York.
When we get there, can we go see the Space Needle? It's like literally a totally different part of the country. But I like space. It's not even in space. Ow.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much. I just don't know why they want to go to a place with the nickname Nola. I mean, it's like every bitch who's come in here with two-syllable names, these girls all hate.
I don't want to go into a city with all sorts of fat liars. What are you talking about? You know, jambalaya, that's all they have there.
Oh, stupid. So Brittany, of course, I'm liking Brittany's like innocent shit stirring from across the table, because it does really seem innocent. But she's like, oh, wow, New Orleans. So is that going to be awkward for you, Stassi, with Ariana? And Stassi's like, Ariana's the one who's mean. She should be the one to feel awkward. I don't feel awkward. Like, whatever. She's the awkward one. And everyone's like, mm-hmm. And she just like, Stassi wins. Great. Congratulations. Like, now Stassi's like back in full force steamrolling everybody after like a whole year of begging Katie to forgive her. Cool. Queen Stassi's back. Yay.
I'm boiling like a crawfish boil. New Orleans.
Do you know how many things they feed you in New Orleans that have claws? They know I hate claws.
God, do you know how many flying elephants they have there? It's gumbo, not Dumbo.
I was going to say, who wants to eat an elephant? Mm. I won't eat anything with claws or, like, little cute hats.
I think I'll have one of each of the prime gumbos. I hear they have the only cafe in all the world there. Cafe du Monde? Yeah.
No, that's too sexy.
That implies that she knows what Dumond means.
I know, yeah, you just really put you put that bitch through college.
I jumped the shark.
I jumped the Dumbo.
These donuts don't have holes in them.
Oh my god, I found out who killed John Bonnier.
It's like it's a donut. Why is the donut shop lady in jail?
I called the police.
Do you know people there only have 8 teeth? What are you talking about? Etouffee.
Oh my god. So
I don't eat their rice. The rice is dirty there.
So Katie and Lisa go to Katie's marriage. The empty vase.
I should have stopped at Etouffee, but I decided to make a dirty rice joke.
Oh, I've been waiting all day to say the empty vase, Ben.
I'm sorry, day. I stepped on your empty vase.
I got now. Out of bed this morning waiting to say, Katie and Lisa go to Katie's marriage, the empty vase.
It's so funny.
Do you know how long it took me to logline that?
It's okay. I have like 3 jokes that.
Ugh, dirty rice.
Dirty rice. Blame Sheena. If Sheena weren't so stupid, we wouldn't be making the jokes.
I'm going to be so mad at dirty rice. So they're going over their budget for flowers. By the way, know the queen in the flower shop. Didn't know he works at a flower shop. He's yelled at me 2 Halloweens in a row. Yelled. Okay. Wait. He hates me.
Wait, why?
Because we have mutual friends and we go to the same Halloween party. And this time I took weed candy. And at like 1 in the morning, I was like, I need a nap. Because, you know, I was like wasted and completely drugged out. And so I went and laid down. And he came into the guest room. He's like, bitch, are you sleeping, bitch? Of course you are, you fucking lazy bitch. And, like, just would not stop. He kept coming in. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not sleeping now. And so I went back out and started repartying because that's how I roll. And he was like, oh, my God, look, it's a sleeping one. Can you keep your head off the table, bitch? I'm like, you are the kind of gay my meemaw was terrified about. You're like the gay that Britney's mother is terrified of. You're ruining it all for the rest of us, you fucking queen.
Yeah.
But actually, he's
lovely. Be more like Michael from East Hampton. Helping Ina Garten with her flowers. How about that? Be more like him.
Yes. Actually, if he ever does hear about this, he's actually very nice. He's just like a funny he's actually just like a funny bitchy gay. And also I'm terrified of next Halloween already. So there you go. Anyway, they go and they're talking about budgets, and their budget is $6,000 for flowers. Is this bitch fucking crazy? Is she crazy? Yes. Her husband is unemployed and she's a waitress, like a day a week.
Yeah, it's called get a bunch of paper. And do origami, okay, and put it everywhere.
No shit.
That's what you do.
I mean, I know that Capital One is pretty forgiving, but how forgiving are they? You're going to be paying this. You could buy a child for the amount that you're spending on this wedding.
The Empty Vase is also, it's like a well-known flower shop, and it's expensive. Why don't you just go downtown to the, you know, there's a whole flower warehouse downtown. There's a flower district. Go down there. You get your flowers for way cheaper. You're just such a bougie bitch sometimes, Katie. You're such a bougie bitch.
Yes, it's not fun.
I just
pulled
my back doing that. Oh, my God.
It's not fun knowing that this girl is going to go back to holding salt and pepper trays tomorrow. You know, like, that's like an uncomfortable wedding when I know that it's completely ruined your credit for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel good about that. And I ain't throwing money on the floor either, bitch, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Katie and Lisa, blah, blah, blah. Katie bitches about Tom again, and Lisa's like, every time I have a combo with her, she has a horror story about Schwartzy. And then she gave her some sweet advice. She's like, the world is hard enough, darling. When you go home with your partner, you should be ready to unite to fight the world together. Like, and Katie's like, that's so old-fashioned. Like, you can tell that she's like, that's stupid advice.
Katie is preoccupied. She's looking for a giant, you know, iceberg lettuce flowers.
Yeah, she's like, are any of these edible? I brought my ranch. It's in my purse.
By the way, I went out to dinner with Angie and David last week. Angie Thomas, who's been on this podcast before, it was her birthday, and we got a wedge salad. The entire time I was thinking of Katie.
They still serve wedge salads?
At the Water Grill downtown, they do.
Oh, the Water Grill serves a wedge salad?
Isn't that weird?
Yes, that's so El Paso Country Club circa 1989. It's weird. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable. Also uncomfortable is James, who's getting nervous for his first hypnotherapy session.
Oh, God. And his Tom's like, oh, it's going to be great, dude. And Barbara, the hypnotherapist, is like, oh, hello, welcome. Now, here's how this works. You make the change. What do you want to change? He's like, well, I do make change. Actually, I'm DJing, and people bring me 20s, and I'll give them either 21s, a 10, maybe 10 ones, or maybe all fives. I don't know. I'm here for the people. She's like, think deeper. Think deeper. Yeah.
I like how James was talking about this, like, hypnotherapy and stuff like that. And he says, well, you know, last year, Kristen had me doing crystal therapy. I was like, yes, therapy. Yeah,
exactly. Well, at least it finally came out. And then this is also where he says, she's like, you need to make the change. What do you want to be the best you can be? And he goes, well, I want to make music and show others that I'm not some joke, you know? I mean, they think, like, here's this gorgeous, handsome British man, and his hair's too perfect. He can't possibly rhyme Prius with anything.
His eyes are glistening. His nipples are like little butterscotch kisses. How could he possibly be a rapper?
I want to prove that I'm good at what I do. I'm like, look, She can do a lot to make you feel more confident, but she can't make you better at GarageBand. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You need to go to the Apple site because that shit's free.
So. Yeah. Wiggy, wiggy. So then she hypnotizes him, and he basically just goes to sleep.
Yeah, and then he's that girl in the comedy shop. Have you ever seen when there's a hypnotist at, like, a stand-up place, and they're like, we're going to hypnotize you. And then people pretend that they totally got hypnotized or whatever. I've been one of those girls, by the way. My mom is still mad that I won't admit that I was just lying. But he's like the kind who wakes up and he's like, what happened? What did you talk about? Did I say anything? I'm like, shut up. She was just talking to you silently while you were laying on a couch. She's not magical. Yeah. She's some immigrant in a bad wig charging $30 an hour. Get out of here.
She's like, all right, I look at my memo and you said, Wiggy, white Kanye West, Wiggy, Lala, into me, Lala, ain't nobody, hair, perfect girl.
But yeah. I know it worked because when you came out of it, I had a different wig. I'm like, oh, it did work. It's magic.
Yeah.
So Tom is being a good friend. He's like, he's really delicate. Like, under that cocky facade, he's like a delicate dude. It's like, okay. So Ariana and Sheena. Ariana is just going horseback riding. And Sheena, in typical Sheena fashion, is like, yeah, I'll just watch. Because, like, horses, like, they have claws, so... So she's watching, and Ariana out of nowhere starts... Was she talking about a horse or a friend?
Both, really. She had Ariana had a horse that she got when she was 8, and she and the horse were the same age, and then the horse died when it was 30. The horse's name is Raven.
I'm sorry, I would finish listening to the story, but I got to go to Vegas with the guys. Yeah, it was sad because she was sobbing, but I was also like, this is Vanderpump Rules, so you're feeling things in the wrong place. So Tom comes, and of course they talk about hypnotherapy or whatever, and Tom's like, Dibs got hypnotherapy and that was like a big step for him. And Ariana goes, okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't you just have a normal project, like, I don't know. Anything really. Have you talked to your band lately? Yeah, get like a normal hobby. You're being weird right now.
Yeah.
And then Sheena jumps in and she's like, it's gonna take more than a hypnotist to cure him of his mental illness. Like, the way he talks to women is disgusting.
Like, Sheena, have you heard the way you talk?
To women.
Not to women, just the way you sound.
Now,
you sound like fast Chewbacca.
Yeah. Sheena, I get that James does talk awfully to women. He's disgusting. He's a pig.
He's
like
awful.
I'm not ever gonna stand up for James in that way. He is awful. But Sheena talking feminism is just hilarious to me. Because she's wearing, like, as she says it, she's wearing this, like, glittered, netted, see-through dress with big fake old tits, a face that's been changed 30 times to please men. Her whole thing was, like, writing a song about, I don't know, like, you know, her pussy's like a seal or whatever the hell her first song was. Like, okay, yeah, you're really doing a lot for women, Sheena. But she is.
Yeah, especially like her expressions of feminism this year have been basically to try to slut shame someone and to ostracize someone in order to gain the good graces of 3 other bitches.
Yes.
So yay, feminism.
Yay. Yay, women. So she's telling, and this is also where she's like, well, hypnotherapy is hypnotherapy. Because, like, some people rely on magic to turn them into better people, and some people stop acting like assholes. I was like, okay, so which path are you going to take?
Yeah.
Exactly. They're going to a painting class. What else, Ben?
Well, Kate, we then go over to a law office where Katie and Tom have arrived to sign a prenup, and I'm already laughing because in my mind I'm like, what is this prenup for? Is it for like stocks in iceberg lettuce? Is it like for like chalkboard painted walls that say Bubba on them? Like, what possessions do they have that they want to preserve, you know, going forward?
The lawyer literally laughed in their face.
Yeah. The funny thing is the whole scene was actually kind of about that. Where it was like, you have nothing. You have some like old, you know, like Tic Tacs in between the couch that you can claim.
Exactly. And where did that lawyer come from? Like, Katie found out that this is a $2,500 meeting, and she's like, well, look how the tides turn, because now Tom doesn't mind spending $2,500, so I hope he's not mad at the $18,100 million trillion is spent on the wedding. Like, these are not the same things.
Well, she had the wrong takeaway. Her response to that was, I hope this is the last time he complains about the cost of the wedding. For her, the takeaway was, see, now he realizes why you got to pay this money. I'm like, no, the takeaway should be, oh, this is what it feels like when you get suckered into something and are told the last minute that it costs way more than it's supposed to. Maybe you should reform your behavior, Katie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But she didn't even mind. She was like, now you can't yell at me. This lawyer, for $2,500, he's like, hi, kids.
Yeah.
It's like, sits down. He's like some old gumshoe from, you know, the movies. They're like, Don's back for another day on the earth to solve another crime. He's like, God damn it. If I have to chase one more husband cheating on his goddamn wife drunk, you know. He's that kind of guy. And so when he looks at their financials, he starts cracking up. Now, look, here's the real reason Tom wants a prenup. He knows he's going to divorce this bitch, A. This is not somebody he needs to be ending up with forever. This is a roommate he ended up boning a couple of times and never stopped calling him. So he knows that the second he gets a better opportunity, he's getting the fuck out of here. I don't think it's a fight over money. I think it's a fight over time. Because Katie is that girl who will stretch this shit out forever. She will never let him move on. So I think it's just like a way for him to get a quick, easy out. It's basically an exit sign. It's a $2,500 exit sign.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Because the truth is, both of them have about $200 in their checking and about $4,700 in their savings. And of course, you know, $4,500, like, that's a nice chunk of change right there. But, you know, usually prenups are like, if you have maybe like $10 million in your bank or something like that, you know, even $50,000.
Well, he's also one of the only people on this show who still has hope, you know. He's like the only one who still like tries to model or act. Mm-hmm. Everyone else has given up. He's like, no, I'm still going to auditions. What if I, you know, what if I get something or something? I don't want you to have it. You know, also, one thing, speaking of terrible marriages, I forgot to mention, Sheena was, they were talking about the prenup at the horse place, and Sheena was like, well, like, I mean, who does that? Like, I joke to Shay about it, but, like, I would never get a prenup because I married someone I trust. And then Ariana and Tom were both like, well, things happen. What do they know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, meanwhile, over at Sir, Sheena is back there, and Ellie, the vamp from Pump, comes by. And Ellie and Sheena are talking about the fact that DJ James Kennedy is going to be having a performance at The Study. And they want to go there because they want to confront James and Raquel together and just watch them both squirm. So I was like, okay, well, this seems like an awful, evil thing to do. I'm on board.
Yes. And Sheena's like, he's so terrible, but, like, maybe if we blow him up, he'll, like, take some accountability. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're just doing this for women everywhere, Sheena. Yeah, what a giver. Yeah. What a giver. Exactly.
We then go to Jax and Brittany at a restaurant, and they're both, like, struggling with the menu. Poor Brittany. She's like, I don't know what half these things are on here. Like, what's an entree? Oh, that's actually just the category. Oh.
What's a menu? It's the menu. It's where you choose things. Oh, so I don't eat this? No, Brittany. Do you have Tostitos?
What's a Halley butt? Like, why do I eat the butt of a Halley?
I knew a girl named Halley once. Trust me, you do not want to eat her butt. I tried. Don't tell anybody. I'll call you a liar. These two are idiots, and they're restaurant professionals.
Yes.
By the way. So they start talking about church because Jax, I guess, is going to really go to church, which is hilarious. Yeah.
But despite his traumatic childhood.
Yes. He really did have a traumatic childhood. He goes, what kind of church is this? Like, you know, because I went to one as a kid and they would sling stuff at us, like holy water or whatever, and they'd, like, tell us we're going to hell, and, like, blah, blah. Like, the way he was describing his church, I was like, no wonder he's terrified. That sounds like a terrifying church.
How many priests were flung out of windows trying to fix Jax? That's what I want to know. Okay.
They
How
jumped.
Many?
They just jumped. He doesn't have any special powers. He just has really bad breath.
How many times did Max von Sydow come to take care of him? Okay. How many times did his mom get PC yacked up on her?
The priests were actually trying to get spirits to take him over so he'd be a better person. It's like, yes, he ate the head of a baby off, but at least he hasn't stolen sunglasses this week. Like, no spirits would go into Jackson. They're like, is there an exorcist?
It's just, the devil was like, whoa, big mistake. I'm getting out of here. The power of Christ. The devil's like, no, don't worry. I'm good. I'm gonna leave.
And she's like, no, it's so easy. She's Baptist. Like, oh my God. This shit's gonna be hilarious. So let's see. She tells him about the James thing, and he's like, yeah, I want to go there because I want to see the look on his face when they ambush his ass. And she's like, no fighting because that probation still stands.
Love some like good... that little flourish at the end there.
I love some good probation flirting with a boyfriend who just screamed at your mother and doesn't know what a steak is. Good luck to you too.
So then a hilarious scene as Tom and Katie and Tom and Ariana go on a double date to go painting. And oh, by the way, Stassi's coming too. Because why not?
Good. Fifth wheel Stassi. Did you notice this scene started out? The music was, drink up, it's so gay. So funny that they ended Jax's scene like that.
So they're at this place called Paint and Sip, which already makes me roll my eyes. And, you know, they're all
it's like, is
painting.
That even a pun? It's terrible.
Paint and sip. So Schwartz, of course, he hates awkwardness. So he's like, Stassi, Ariana, it's sort of awkward. So why don't you like each other? And Stassi said that, what was it? Stassi didn't like that Ariana said, I don't give a fuck. Oh, so Stassi did not like when Ariana told Stassi, I don't give a fuck about you. And then Ariana's like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, because he said, are you guys cool? And Ariana's like, are we cool? Yeah, I mean, it's fine. She's like, but you were like abrasive and mean when you said blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. And Stassi keeps trying her old method. She's like, well, you're callous and abrasive, and it makes me feel sad, and it hurts my feelings. And then Tom goes, yeah, but, like, you choose how to feel. So if you feel a certain way, it's because you're making yourself. So,
yeah. And by the way, Stassi, everything you're saying is how one could describe you, okay? You're just seeing how it feels to be to bear the brunt of it. And Ariana doesn't give a fuck. But, of course, Katie chimes in, and she's like, yeah, like... Ariana doesn't care about people's feelings and opinions. I'm like, shut up, Katie.
Yeah, you don't even care about your friend's feelings. And Ariana goes, well, but I'm not friends with her. So, of course I don't care. I do care about my friends.
She's like, whose opinions am I supposed to care about? My friends or the people I'm not friends with?
Yeah. And, like, and then Katie's like, well, I care. It means something to me, which I guess means they're friends. Like, you're the bitch who just didn't ask her to be a bridesmaid. So,
yeah.
And exactly. Ariana's like, you know, Stassi is always used to saying whatever she wants to people and getting whatever the fuck she wants. And she doesn't even understand any other way, you know, which is so true. Because Stassi's sitting there like, can you believe she just said that to me? Stassi, you're a fucking bitch. You're a mean, awful human being. Period. Like, she's not coming after you. It's not like you. You go after people. She's not going after you. She's just leaving you alone. You come up to her and you start shit and she flicks your forehead. Okay?
Yeah.
You don't like getting your forehead flicked. Back the fuck away.
Yeah, exactly. And now the fact that Katie has jumped into this when she has there's nothing to do with Katie, and she's now just like, you know, simpering, like, well, I guess, okay, fine. I guess that, like, Tom, if you want, this is your groomsman. I guess it's really great that she's your groomsman, and she says these things to my friends, Tom. It's like, shut up, Katie. Just really shut up.
It's like, the thing is, like, when we're, like, partying, like, the girls are going to be together, and the guys are going to be together. And Tom's like, no, she's a groomsman, so she'll be with the guys. And she's like, oh, great. So now you're just going to hang out with the guys? Oh, that's great. That's just awesome. Like, Well,
I'm like, Katie, you didn't want her to hang out with the girls.
Yeah, and Tom says, you're the one who didn't want her to be a bridesmaid in the first place. You know, you fucking twit. It's like you want her there so you can be mean to her, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want her there so you can spend time with her. When was the last time you called Ariana?
Yeah.
Asshole.
She's so stupid. Like, objectively, very, very stupid. So then it's time for DJ James Kennedy's performance, Love. And so all of James's friends and family there, his mom is dancing in the crowd like she's, you know, 20. And then everyone starts to show up, Tom and Ariana and Jax and Brittany and Sheena. And, you know, Tom and Ariana can already sense that something is awry. Something is really sketchy about why would all these people who hate James show up? And I like Jax is like, hey, bro, there's an ulterior motive.
Oh, poor stupid Jax. Yeah. So they all start showing up one by one, and Tom's like, wait a minute, something's not right here. Let me see, I'm trying to go through all of these because of course I wrote a note about every little single thing that happened, but basically James gets up there and starts performing.
Let's go, okay, Lala, are you in the building? If your name is Lala, say hello. Yeah,
that was pretty much it. He's like, what, wiggy, wiggy, let's go. He was like, And Sheena was like, oh my God, he's like literally performing. Like, he's like out there like literally performing. Like, yeah. I couldn't tell if it was a diss or not, but Sheena's like, he doesn't have a tape, so loser.
She's like, it was like a car accident. You just have to watch. I'm like, yeah, do you remember your concerts that you used to have on this show? And we would watch them. That's the same thing we'd say about you.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, wow, I can't believe that guy isn't singing to a tape. You guys, he's done this more than once. You can tell. Embarrassing. So he is performing, and then it starts coming down. Girlfriend, Raquel, who, by the way, I'm sure Raquel is a very actually, she's probably not lovely. No, she's got to be awful.
She's got to be awful. We should also mention that Kristen has shown up now with Carter. Carter has yet to say anything this entire season, but Kristen is there. And I loved when Tom was like, oh, man, when Kristen shows up, that's like a bad omen. That's like in The Matrix when you see the cat twice. That actually made me laugh.
Kristen's like, time to pop my popcorn.
Could you imagine seeing Kristen twice in a row? Like, wait a second. There's been a shift in the Matrix.
Seriously? The Matrix is just Kristen. A bunch of people like, Carter's like, popcorn, you're paying for that, right? Yes, Carter! So they go in to watch. Now all the evil people are basically gathered while he's performing. And the girlfriend, Raquel, decides she's going to get some screen time because God knows what she's done to her face. I mean, she's done enough to deserve some Bravo time. Her face is terrifying. So she goes up to Gigi, who's kind of a little homely hostess, who already got in a fight with James.
Well, yeah.
Did I miss something?
Well,
I'm not going off notes anymore.
You didn't miss anything, but you know, it's not like Gigi just happened to be there. Gigi was there ready to start a fight, and Raquel is like, okay, well, I'm gonna start it then. You know, like I'm gonna cut this off at the pass. And she was like, I heard that you're obsessed with my boyfriend, but I don't blame you, girl. It's like, uh-oh, here we go. The JV players are about to start a fight.
Yeah, B team, bring in the B team. And Gigi's like, whatever, because, like, does your boyfriend, like, maybe sleep with other people? Because, like, boyfriend, what? And she's like, yeah, my boyfriend, what?
And Gigi goes, yeah, like, he cheated on you, and, like, isn't it, like, a quality of, like, a Miss California to be, like, feminism?
Oh, that was Kristen. She was just watching the whole thing. She's like, isn't Miss America supposed to be a feminist? And then Gigi goes, that. Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Then Gigi goes, look, honey, do you, like, believe in unicorns in your world? Like, are there unicorns? Because, like, A, I love unicorns. And B, if you know a unicorn, introduce them to me. And C, your boyfriend cheated on you probably with it. If there was a unicorn, he'd cheat with a unicorn, too, okay? And she's like, whatever, bitch. And James comes up, and he's like, hello, girl. Hey, girl. And he sees what's going on, and he's drunk.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yes.
So he's like, the girlfriend's like, well, I just met Gigi. And then Ellie comes up. It's like, hi, I'm Ellie. It's like, oh yeah. No.
And then Gigi decides that she's gonna start doing some prop comedy. She's like, oh, James, here's the clothes back from when I slept over at your place and you gave me clothes to wear home because I was naked from having sex with you.
Yeah, regular old horror top over there. Yeah. So James is like, are you that psycho? Baby, I would never have sex with you. You're disgusting. Get your dumpy face out of my face. Okay, James. Like, you have the upper hand here.
Yeah. By the way, I also love getting back to that feminism comment. About, like, isn't a thing about being Miss California about to be, supposed to be feminism? I'm like, I love how your brand of feminism is, hey, let's both sleep with this guy who has a girlfriend and then go after the girlfriend for not leaving him because he slept with us. I'm like, okay, that's interesting brand of feminism. Interesting strain.
So James is going off. He calls Gigi Dumpy Face and she hits him. And then someone's holding them apart, right? Like, well, someone comes in.
Well, James goes, stop slapping people, you stupid girl, you slut.
So Tom runs, he's like, whoa, 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 bro, whoa. Meanwhile, the rest of the staff is like cheering, watching this all. And so, meanwhile, James's voice is still like singing up there. So there went the real performing. So Tom comes in and jumps in between them. And he's like, whoa, guys, whoa. And then Gigi is like trying to hit around her. And so James walks away. But before he does, he like slides his hand down Gigi's face. And she goes, he touched me. He touched me. Which is, of course, you bring shit, try to ruin his life, then hit him. And now you're like, typical.
But also, yes, it's, typical ridiculousness. But also, she's like this tiny little thing, and she like gives him like a tap on the ear. And then, he's ready to full on fight her. He would have punched her in the face if he could have.
Oh my God. So they're going at it. And then I like when Gigi's going off, he touched me. And Tom turns to her and he goes, yeah, you knew he had a girlfriend.
You knew he had a girlfriend.
Let's see.
She's like, oh my God, Claire Duvall.
James and Jax. Okay, so then Jax is into it for some reason.
Before Jax gets into it, when James is leaving, he walks up to Jax and Kristen and he goes, thank you for coming. Thank you. And then Kristen goes, back the fuck off now. I'm like, Kristen, you're the one who came here to antagonize him. So.
Typical. So then James is like, you're losers. He's like,
old man. Old man Jax.
Yes. So old Jax boy. Is like, what? And so they start going off, trying to pretend they're gonna beat each other up, and everyone's holding Jax back. And then Kristen goes up to the security guy and she's like, that guy's dangerous and he like touched somebody. So she gets him kicked out, and then he's out.
Well, because Jax threw a drink onto James, and so James threw a glass at Jax, and it shattered on the wall behind him.
Oh, good to show.
James gets kicked. So basically, James gets kicked out, and Jax sort of gets kicked out too, but James gets kicked out. He's like, I need my suit jacket. It's Gucci. It's Gucci.
They're like, get out. There's some lady like, get the hell out of here. So basically they go outside and Kristen is there and James yells at Tom. Tom's like, you okay, bro? And he's like, why would you be friends with that asshole? And he's the one who started all this. And that's bullshit. And then he tells us, fuck off, Tom. Not knowing all of this stuff, Tom has totally done for him. And Tom's like, whatever. So he leaves. And then Kristen and Jax are, bragging. Kristen's like, I got him kicked out. I got him kicked out of the club. And Tom's like, dude, you're an asshole. Why would you do that to him? Like, it's not bad enough that you, like, got him fired from one job. Now you have to get him fired from his new job. And she's like, why are you defending James? Are you best friends? Are you BFFs? Like, she did her fifth grade fighting, which he still works on Tom, which is hilarious. Yeah, it actually works on him. He's like,
whoa, wait a minute. Am I fifth grade? Oh, no, man.
Although I did audition for Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, so I'm going to think about this one.
I failed. Like, I totally wasn't. But he's like, this isn't a good look, and I cannot support this.
And stalks off, which, man, these people... Right. He was right. These people are disgusting. I mean, James is disgusting, too, but there's disgusting people all over Hollywood. You can't just show up at their work and, like, you know, well, I guess you could, but.
Well, I didn't like that they made me take James's side. And the thing was, I was going back and forth because part of me was like, yeah, this is going to be hilarious because James is a tool. And I was totally on Gigi and Ellie's side. But then somehow I wound up on James's side. I was like, what is happening? This is classic Vanderpump Rules where you just wind up hopping from side to side within 30 seconds. And in the end, you just feel like a schmuck.
And you can't be on James's side. He does not allow you to be on his side. If James had showed up to work sober and done this thing, he wouldn't have handled it that way. He would have, well, maybe he would have. I'm kind of sick of everybody blaming everything on alcohol. Like, you're an asshole, you're an asshole. Maybe it's magnified, but he still says that shit and continues to say shit like, dumpy face, girl, slut. You know, like, you can't do that. Now, we see who raised him, so I kind of get it. But still, you can't root for him, because if he had just been like, oh, God, they're going to try and get me, I'm not going to let him get me. But he doesn't, you know. His girlfriend goes up and antagonizes those girls. Then he gets in their face and calls them ugly sluts, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Then he's throwing glasses. It's like, oh, James, can't root for James.
Yeah, seriously. That brings us to the end of our little show right here.
Little Vanderpoop Drools. Everybody, thank you so much.
But before we wrap it up, you know, last week was our fifth anniversary week, and we had a huge outpouring of love. And, you know, one of our listeners, Kat, was so kind to record her own version of the Watch for Crappens theme song. So as we leave you today, we're going to let you listen to Kat's version of the song.
Yes, Kat, we love you, girl. That's Catlock at Trash Talk TV. She's a really good recap writer, so go read her over there. Kat, we love you so much. Thank you for this. And everybody, we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Crappens, crappens, crap, crap, crap.